Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Not a lot going on. Just kidding. Padres will head up to Los Angeles tonight for the big real deal matchup, I believe. It's probably the best matchup in this postseason. Probably the most anticipated matchup in this postseason. Padres-Dodgers begins Saturday. They'll have another one Sunday, the off day Monday, home here in San Diego for Tuesday's game. Hopefully, you know, Padres will be on their way to a sweep at that point. That remains to be seen. But last night, San Diego represented very well. That place was bonkers. And we have transitioned, I think, from regular season mode where it's a social event, everybody's there having a good time, but kind of, sort of watching the game. I'm talking about everybody. To playoff mode where everybody's dialed in from the very beginning. Now, I did sense some nervous energy in the building a little bit last night.
But you sense me?
I can feel you from long range distance.
I look at Tony during bad plays and I'm like, what is he thinking over there?
Scraby gave up the season when they fell behind 1-0 in the first inning.
That is not true.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't feel the nervousness there. Certainly felt the gut punch when Joe Musgrove had to walk off the mound.
Yeah,
I think from that point on, the energy definitely changed. Now, it would eventually get back to the levels that it was to begin the game, but obviously Joe Musgrove going down, everyone's concerned for it. No word on that yet. I know he's going through some testing today. We'll eventually find out. We'll get to that later. But the Padres get the job done, and it's so fun to watch this team do their thing, Chris. I mean, in the first game, they did it via the long ball. Two-run shot from Toddy. Higgy hits a homer. And, you know, from there, the Padres really much just rolled in game one. In game two, Higgy hits the homer to tie it. And then five more consecutive hits for the Padres, and we've also seen them win a bunch of games that way. And so you got a little bit of everything. Now, a team that's desperate usually doesn't pack it in, and certainly a team of the Braves' caliber wasn't. And
no.
Michael Harris, who had had an abysmal playoff numbers prior to this series, was pretty much the Atlanta Braves' offense all by himself.
Yeah, a few things, Tony. I mean, first of all, it was awesome last night. You're absolutely right. I mean, no place you'd rather be than Petco Park watching what happened. And I thank you for that detailed opening, because if anybody had seen me on the YouTube camera, you would have seen that I couldn't get my headphones untangled.
I was trying to buy you some time.
You bought me a little time because I couldn't get my headphones untangled. And now you've dropped your...
Well, my camera got dropped. I didn't drop it. It fell off.
Anyway, we're having a great start to the proceedings today. But yeah, it was awesome last night. And I mean, I had so much fun, and I can't wait for next week. I hope there's only one game. I know a lot of people are saying, well, let's just get a split in Los Angeles. I'm not saying that. If you get the first game, you better get the second game. I mean, why win the first game and then roll over, you know? So hopefully they can get them both. I'd love to see them come back here, you know, next Tuesday, looking to, as you said, Tony, finish it off. But we shouldn't be surprised with how the Padres did what they did. They led. Remember, they led Major League Baseball this year in innings where they scored five or more runs. They did it more than anybody else. And you know, there you are. You get to the playoff, and there you get a five run inning, and. You know, that was enough to win the ball game. I mean, how many teams do you know that load the bases with nobody out and don't score, and then the next inning have two outs and nobody on and score five? It was incredible, but not surprising, because we've seen it all year, stuff like this.
It's been one of their superpowers all year long. They can, the two-out magic that they have been able to put, that's the hardest way to score runs in Major League Baseball, is with two outs.
Yep.
And they do it, I think, better than anybody. A couple things that popped up to me that were on display. The whole lefty situation. And the Padres, really, through the last 24 games, were really good against lefties. But the first 22, as my man Chris Ello track of, they struggled immensely. Ironically, one of the only lefties they hit well early was Max Fried. And the second thing that was on display was the fact that this is a top-tier starter, and the Padres went to work on him.
Yeah, I don't think they have to be, you know, scared of anybody moving forward.
No.
I don't think the Dodgers, and we're going to talk tons about the Dodgers. We got 48 hours before that series starts. But Jack Flaherty, Yamamoto are going to pitch the first two games. Could they shut you down? Sure. They're good. They're big league pitchers. Flaherty's an all-star type guy and has been in the past. But I don't think the Padres have to, you know, be concerned, you know, if they go out and do their thing. I think they can score runs against anybody. The biggest play of the game last night, as it turned out, and I don't think it got a lot of attention, but in my mind, Fernando's line drive in the first inning off the hip of Max Fried.
Right cheek. Or left cheek, yeah.
And
it was left
cheek. Scott Miller was sitting next to me. And, you know, Fried, they came out, and the trainer and everybody looked at him. And I told Scott Miller, and no doctor, but I mean, we've all been hit by a line drive, you know, if we played enough baseball. I said he may get through this inning, but the next inning, after he's gone and sat down for about 10 minutes, and now you try to get back up and go out on the mound in the second inning. And as it turned out, I mean, Brian Snicker basically said that Fried was hurt and left that game because he was injured, and Padres took full advantage. Manny Machado... I'm getting angry already because I know they're going to announce the Gold Glove voting at the end of the year, and somehow they're going to keep him from getting it. But if they can't give him that, can we give him some love? He was 1-for-17 against Fried in his career. He struck out the first time with the bases loaded and nobody out. I can't imagine any at-bat more frustrating. And then he gets the big old knock there into the corner. And Jackson Merrill, once again, Tony, And you know, it's right now you feel like it, you don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be somebody.
It's somebody every night. The funny thing, you know, I got down to the locker room, so I didn't see the last out. The second to last, whatever one that was hit the marrow.
That was the first out.
I didn't see the first out.
Right, yeah.
And so it's funny, the first question, or one of the questions I asked him was about his improved defense over the last month.
And he said, did you see that play in the ninth inning?
No, but he started talking about the play, and the whole time I'm holding the mic to him like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah,
like,
that is hilarious.
He scared the daylights out of all of us, let me tell you something.
So, after we get done, after the festivities end, I went back upstairs and Jesse asked me if I saw the play. Because me and him have been talking to him. I was like, over the last month, man, his route running, his first step, all have started to look a lot better. And so it had already been a conversation. So he asked me, did I see it? I was like, oh, that's what he was talking about.
The whole time,
I was like, I don't remember you doing that at all. But nonetheless, Jackson is just phenomenal, man. I mean, everybody is on this. That's what makes this team so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Kyle Higashioka, as my man Dylan Cease called him yesterday, the best nine-hole hitter in all of baseball.
I would say.
I said, at this point. It could be him. It could be Solano who hit in front. It could be Cronenworth. It could be any of the first six guys in the lineup as well. And I'm just, that's the type of length that you're used to seeing on the other side with the Dodgers as you're going into this series. It's almost as though, and listen, at the end of the day, Padres are going to have to prove it again in this series, but it's almost like they have switched spots in terms of what this team looks like, how they go about it. Remember, Dodgers were used to drag pitchers into the deep end and drown them all the time. Now that's like the Padres' calling card.
You're talking about taking a lot of pitches. Getting the pitch count up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wears these pitchers down. And so, you know, this is where depth will come into play. Who's going to be able to execute better? Padres, in 22, they lost game one and then proceeded to win the next three. And so, you know, as Chris said, you get game one, you certainly want to try to go in there and take game two. Then you get two cracks at home to finish the job. So this is going to be a fun series. As Manny said, this is a series that everybody, even if they didn't say it out loud, had it in the back of their mind. Maybe in some way you thought it might be in an NLCS. It's not. It's in an NLDS. Nonetheless, it's going to be a terrific series.
You know, if you'd have told me at the start of the season, and Scraby and I looked this up before the show, Tony, that the Padres would have to beat the Braves and the Dodgers in a playoff series just to get to the championship, we would have said, that doesn't sound too fun. Because if you go back to the beginning of the season, the two teams that were clearly rated above all others in Major League Baseball, you look at all the preseason odds, all of the preseason stuff, the two major powerhouses coming into the season were the Braves and the Dodgers.
Yep.
And that's who the Padres are, you know, trying to beat. Now, the Braves were a bit of a shell of themselves. I'm glad you said what you said about them, because there was no way they were going to roll over last night. And anybody who thought that they were have not been paying attention. This is a championship team. They've won they won their division 7 years in a row.
Right.
This year they didn't win it because of all the injuries. But I told Scraby, they're not going to step aside for the Padres' coronation.
No.
And they didn't, man. They played it all 27 outs, was what I expected from them. And I think the Padres, give them credit, because I think that's exactly what they expected. When the Braves got right back in the game, you know, Jason Add, they had a meeting on the mound. I thought that was really interesting, Tony. Maybe you can touch on it a little bit. Harris hit the home run to make it 5-4, and there's no outs in the eighth inning. So you still need six outs to win the game. And before the next batter came up, every infielder and Higashioka all went to the mound.
Ruben came out there too,
there.
I think.
Did Ruben? I don't think Ruben came out. I'd have to go back and look at it. But I thought Ruben didn't come out, but they all got together, and it was almost as if they said, all right, you know, let's just, you know, focus, get it done. And Jason Adam did what he normally does, got the next three, and then Suarez got the last three. But Jackson Merrill, you scared us. You scared us on that play.
There was quite a few of people holding their breath on that.
There was. And here's the funny thing that went through my mind, Tony. You didn't see it, but I bet you the same thing would have gone through your mind. This guy's played an exemplary center field for a guy playing it for the first time in his life. And I thought, oh, no.
You know,
you mean the first time he's going to misjudge and run in and the ball's going to go over his head is going to happen now?
You know what he said he thought he saw?
Thank goodness he got back there.
And I totally relate to this because this has happened to me in that stadium before. He thought that that ball was chopped into the ground.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, like, there are certain spots on the field where there's, like, almost a blind spot when the ball – when the pitcher throws and the hitter swings. And it just happened to me before where you think the ball hit the ground, like it was hitting to the ground first.
You take a step up.
You take that first two steps in as he did and then realize, oh, you know what? I got to recover.
I got to go back. Someone on the chat said on the replay, because I didn't get to see the replay, but his eyes are like, why?
The funny thing is, I looked at it on after what Jesse told me. I went back and looked on the research tool, and I saw it. And you can see his eyes that big from the regular ESPN feed that they had. Like,
yeah,
you can see it from that far away how big his eyes are because you know that's those two words are going in off in his head as his eyeballs are that big.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have some interviews that Tony did last night, and one of them is with Jackson Merrill, so we'll hear that.
Yeah, Tony was doing yeoman's work. We got to talk about the clubhouse, guys. I mean, all three of us were down there. Tony was getting absolutely lambasted with celebration champagnes and beers, and Scraby was doing his thing. And I was kind
hit
of
in the face, too.
I was kind of on the outskirts. Looking
you were.
In.
You were.
But we'll talk about the clubhouse a little bit. But were you a little at all surprised, Tony, at the level of celebration for a wild card series? Or
nah. Not after hearing them explain it in after the clinch. You know, I think these guys, you don't know how many times you're going to get a chance to be here. And so you celebrate these moments when you can celebrate.
No matter what.
No matter what.
All right.
And they got the right type of...
Yeah, they didn't overdo it.
No, they have the right type of men in that locker room that understand that, all right, we got this day to enjoy this, but tomorrow we hop on a bus and it's back to business.
Back to work, yeah.
They've shown that pretty much all season long.
Yeah, so, I'm not concerned that they're going to take the Dodgers lightly and feel like they've already done it.
No, so, not at all. Not at all. All right, we got plenty to get to. Lots to talk about. We're going to break down this locker room, what it looked like. I mean, they were still getting the plastic down, I think, after out three was done. So it was a good thing those guys stayed out there for a little bit. Scraby got doused. Tanner Scott was hunting for me.
I had bird's eye view of Tanner Scott chasing Tony around the clubhouse with beer and champagne.
It's not like ring around the rosy chasing.
No.
Like he's just stalking me, and I could feel him. So I knew where he was. He still got to me pretty good. We'll get into it when we come back. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Zach.
All right, welcome back. Underway for a Thursday. Happy days in San Diego. Padres move on. Knocking off the Atlanta Braves 5-4 last night to take the series 2-0. Tonight, the Mets and Brewers will decide the other National League wild card series. They're obviously tied at 1. Game 3 in Milwaukee gets underway in about 90 minutes.
That was an incredible game, too.
Yeah, Jackson Churio. The Brewers have their own Jackson.
The Jacksons are taking over baseball
no
right
kidding.
Now.
No kidding. Churio hits 2 homers, and then Garrett Mitchell puts his name in the Brewer annals with a 2-run homer to win that ball game. So Milwaukee staves off elimination. The American League Series are done, surprisingly, I think, in both, right?
Yeah, I mean, all road teams.
Detroit takes out the Astros, ends their 7-year run of making it to the ALCS. And Kansas City shut down Baltimore. The Orioles got a Cedric Mullins home run yesterday, and that's all they got over 2 games against the Royals. So the Royals will play the Yankees, and the Tigers will play the Guardians. Just a quick note on the American League.
Who had 3 AL Centrals
on their
bingo card.
On their bingo card. Three
Not
teams
me.
From the AL Central and the Yankees. Here's the other thing. Yankees payroll is greater than the combined payroll of the Guardians, Tigers, and Royals. Yankees
are
the fourth
Aaron
team
Judge
there.
Makes like...
He probably makes
half
more than the whole
Juan
Tigers
Soto
team.
Makes another
I think
quarter
I,
of that.
I think somebody on the Astros. Oh, Hader. Hader makes more than I think all of the Detroit payroll.
Yeah.
Ooh, how'd that work out for him?
Didn't work out too well yesterday. I'm sure Padre fans were kind of quietly smiling to themselves when they saw the highlights last night that it was Josh
Hader. I told you, I let it go.
I hope
let
not.
It go.
I know you let it go, but I know a lot of people haven't let it go.
I hope not, because as he so eloquently put, he's living rent-free in your head if you're still thinking about Josh Hader at this point.
He's not wrong, but we're also living rent-free in his head, because when he came out of the bullpen that one day, he spiked the first pitch and they scored a run, so he was nervous.
The karma.
I think that's a little bit of a reach.
Karma got you, Josh. I'm going to believe that even if it's totally not true.
Wow. I think that's a bit of a reach.
Even
that's
if it's
not
totally
a bit
not
of a
true.
Reach. The baseball gods were like, you got to spike this, bro. Boom.
All bro, right. He came in and did the ultimate middle finger to everybody is he came in the 8th inning of that game.
That's true.
Which he never did here.
Yeah, well, it turns out he was smart not to come in the 8th inning when
You're
he was
right.
here.
You guys are off. You guys
we'll leave Josh alone. Clubhouse last night was a lot of fun. Tony did an amazing job. We're going to hear his interview with Jackson Merrill in a moment. The celebration was cool. I look forward to another one, hopefully next week, if and when they can beat the Dodgers. The picture that stands in my mind was at the very end when I was walking out. Jake Cronenworth was shoeless, walking through, and he was sloshing through the liquid that was down on the floor.
That's a good word for it.
Because I mean, there's a lot of champagne, there's a lot of beer. Not a lot of it is actually. Nobody actually drinks it. Yeah.
That's what I was trying
to... They just spray it all over everything, and it just ends up being all over, you know, on everything.
You know, I think that is the misconception that because you see all of the alcohol that guys are back there just slamming them back. And although there may be one or two slam back,
sure,
most of it ends up on bodies and floor, and plastic, I should say. Because I got to tell you, there was no outs, or there was three outs in the game and ended. They were still... laying the plastic down on like the last quarter of that locker room. I mean, it was
they got it in just in time.
They were having to move it quick.
It's kind of darned if you do. I didn't want to say the other word. Darned if you don't, because if you put it up in the eighth inning and you blow the game, then you're really quickly taking all that down.
And I hate to bring it up, San Diego is sensitive to having to yank plastic down.
It's happened to almost everybody in the past. The worst team it ever happened to was the Red Sox in the 86 World Series when they were, you know, two outs away with
a two-run lead, having to pull it down.
Yeah, two-run lead to win the World Series at New York against the Mets, and they had to race in there when the Mets scored three in the bottom of the ninth and remove all that stuff before the Red Sox got back in the clubhouse to realize just how close they had been.
You know, it's a terrible reminder that would be if you walked in after losing that game and their plastic is still up and they're just now starting
champagne,
to take it down.
Just all
you see the champagne cards being pushed out.
Slowly pushed out.
That would be terrible.
That would be like a major league moment right there, like in a movie.
Well, if you want to get some ideas, I know we all posted videos last night down in the clubhouse. You get a little feel for what it was like in there. But Tony was in full garb. He was decked out with his own plastic on. He had his goggles on, and he was interviewing everybody, including Jackson Merrill. That's your cue.
I know. I started the video. It's playing right now.
That's your cue, buddy.
It's playing right now.
Apparently not. Not to anybody else.
So much for having it synced up.
Yeah.
I was ready to go.
It was a great attempt. It was a great attempt.
I thought it was.
Are you going to play the interview at all?
Is it going to work, or are we just going to go to break?
I got to open it up in my folder, and no one gets to see the video because it's not working.
Oh,
I'm very disappointed about this, guys.
Wait a minute. You shot the video.
I did.
You downloaded the video.
I edited the video.
I tried
to play said video, and it's not playing.
You just said it was playing.
I'm here with the kid, Jackson Merrill. I mean, at this point, nothing you do seems to surprise us. You seem to step up to every moment that's there for you. Just talk about playing in your first postseason and balling at the same time.
I mean, when fans come to watch you, I feel like that's a sign you got to do as best you can. You know, you got to get it all out for them, and we got an amazing crowd here every single time.
I got to ask you a little bit about your defense in center field, because at least from up top, I've noticed the last month, your route running is getting crispier and cleaner. Are you finally starting to feel comfortable patrolling center field?
I was, and then when our crowd is at the top of their lungs in the ninth and I can't hear the sound, I'm like, all right, damn. Because I thought that was a chopper. I thought he, like, hit in the ground and went straight up. And then I was like, oh, no, I got to go get this. But, you know, as soon as I see it, it's in the air. It's got to be mine, you know. I got to go get it.
That's been your attitude all year. I mean, at the plate right now, you're dialed in, it seems like, hitting the ball all over the field. This was not an easy matchup in terms of the pitching you guys saw, but once again, this lineup 1 through 9, it's deep. Just talk about having those type of guys in front of and behind you.
Yeah, I mean, we only had one in one inning with five runs, so it was cool to the two-out knocks just pile up, pass the baton and just try and get a run across every single time. So when we're not trying to do too much, that's when we're at our best.
That's been your model since the first day we talked in Korea. It's continued throughout the rest of this team. One of the things that I think I get a chance to see and that folks get a chance to see is your passion for this game. You, no matter what the situation is, you seem to be always carrying a high energy. Just talk, is that part of who you are and your role on this team?
In my opinion, in my point of view, like, it's baseball, and once that at-bat is over, or once that play is over, you don't get it back. So you got to give 100% at every single play, every single pitch you see, all of it. You got to lock it in, you know? That's how you got to play the game, and if you're not locked in, then you shouldn't be playing it.
Big matchup coming up on rival in the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, it's going to be loud. It's going to be a battle, but, you know, I'm confident in our guys.
All right, very good, Scribby. You finally got it played there.
Did you really need that last part? I mean,
it was good. You know, I got to give Jackson some credit because he is a very excitable guy. And I know on the board last night they showed the highlight later in the game of his triple that scored the two runs and made it 5-1. And they kind of closed in on his face as he was standing at third base,
yes,
yelling at the top of his lungs, "Let's
LFG.
Jorge Alfaro
LFG.
Go."
Yeah. LFG. By the way, Jorge Alfaro tweeted LFGSD last night.
Good for Jorge. I saw that.
Still curious as to what happened to poor Jorge Alfaro, but that's in the past.
Yeah, that's another story. But no, Jackson is he's a kid that gets excited. So for him to do that interview cleanly.
Yes, that's right.
Give him a
He could have told us what
that.
He really was thinking.
Yeah, when that ball went over his head. It almost went over his head.
And I
sure.
wouldn't have minded if he dropped a swear word because he's just locked in right there.
You know what? That was a much better showing across the board from our Padres compared to Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't leave anything out.
Joe went for it. He went, and we forgot to. Adam forgot to bleep it, and we were all like, "Whoa!"
It was about. It wasn't just him. It was pretty much everybody.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Night, so,
and you talked to Musgrove, and I know that we don't know anything, but could you get a hint or two, Tony, at all? Because I know everybody wants to know.
I'm gonna be honest. I hope I'm wrong, but just the
tenor of the conversation.
The energy, the kind of just, I just felt it in his spirit. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he was just upset that it happened or if he was worried. Because that's the sense I got as I was interviewed. I know he had the smile on, he had his glasses on, he was enjoying the moment, but, you know, I just felt it. Like, he was worried about it.
Well,
now, what does that mean? I mean, listen, when guys have elbow stuff, you come out of the game, typically that's going to be some time. Even if it's not serious, you're going to have to – there's a little bit of a reset there.
Kyle Higashioka said in his interview with you last night, and we'll probably play that later, he said that he noticed something was going on with Joe, and then he let two pitches go by.
The word he said was – Joe's stuff started to deteriorate.
Yes.
Is what
yes.
he said.
Kyle Higashioka, by the way, going to be the next great pitching coach somewhere.
Let me tell you,
right?
Man,
to be able to recognize that?
Well, you know, he's back there. He knows what it looks like when it's sharp.
Right.
And this is how much of a gamer Joe is. I mean, he was on the rubber getting ready to throw another pitch before Kyle popped up out of the crouch and ran out there.
Yeah.
He noticed something was up. And, you know, hearing Mike Shildt talked about it, he said, Ruben said something to him, I think he said two pitches before.
Hmm.
And, you know, when I talk about the energy, the nervous energy, when we saw Joe walk off that mound, everybody had that sunken feeling there for a second.
I have the interview. I think we should listen to what Kyle
you want to wait till we get to the other side?
Yes.
2:33.
You better wait till we get to the other side, otherwise you're going to yell at yourself.
I figured Chris was going to say something about the video not playing.
All right, we'll get to that on the other side. We'll talk a little bit more Joe Musgrove, more Gwynn and Chris when we return.
Tell you what, that kid in center field is going to be something. He already is something else, but that's just to add another in their stable of really good players.
By the way, that ball was leaned on. Yeah, he hit the center.
Solaire?
No, well, that Yeah.
So oh, you're where? Talking about so, Jackson Merrill.
So Larry Poe was. I don't, they got a couple of different words than leaned on because that one was hammered.
Yeah, but you're right about Jackson Merrill hitting the ball out of the reach of Michael Harris
yeah.
for that triple, Tony. That's not easy to do. No. Michael Harris catches pretty much everything
he
out there.
He covers a lot of ground, and he'd get it over his head like that. It tells you how hard that ball was hit. Come out to Smith and Miramar on Saturday to see Ben and Woods as they broadcast live from 2:30 to 4:30 to get you ready for the San Diego LA playoff game. L. Smith 394. L is the official rally pint of the playoffs. Watch all of the San Diego postseason action at the L. Smith Tasting Room in Miramar with game day specials on 394, great beer, and more. Root for the hometown team with other fans while enjoying the game with sound. That's Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30 at L. Smith in Miramar. You know what's interesting about Snicker? him and Schulte have similar backgrounds.
Like
came up through the minor leagues, coached.
Was he a player, Snicker?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure if he was. I don't believe he was.
Yeah.
But kind of similar mindsets. I didn't ask Schulte if he knows Snicker at all, but
no, he didn't play.
That's probably something I will ask. But similar backgrounds, and you know, I think they at least talk about the game in the same way, which I find interesting.
Snicker was. Incredulous after game one, and I love it because I think Schilt would have said the same thing. But the Atlanta media, this is after Michael King's game and the 4-0 in game one.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta media was all over Snit, not all over him, but they kept asking him, why did you start this rookie AJ, well, you know, Smith, Shaver, and, you know, he hadn't pitched all year, and what were you thinking? And, you know, he gives up 3 runs before you can get him out of the game, and that's
So they do that everywhere. So it's not.
Yes,
that's
they do.
Everywhere. Okay.
They do. And so they kept harping on him, and so Snitker finally looked at the guy and said, really wouldn't have mattered if we started Cy Young. Michael King didn't give us anything. So just shut up.
Chill out.
We didn't lose that, and he's right. They didn't lose game one because the pitching. You know, they held it together, and they held it together yesterday after it was 5-0. So Atlanta's pitching was fine.
They got beat, period.
That's it.
They got beat.
Yeah.
They didn't have much of a choice. Their ace had to miss the series with back spasms.
Yeah.
They had a doubleheader the day before where two guys threw in both games.
Yeah.
At least two guys threw in both games. So, like, the Padres were just a better team. And you know what? I knew that, but as I was writing down the lineups on my iPad,
it looked a little scary.
Atlanta's
good. Yeah,
it's like Atlanta's good. But even as I'm going back and forth, like doing a Padres line, Padres had a better lineup, and the same thing will be when they go to this Dodgers series. And that doesn't guarantee that the Padres win, but the Padres have the better team.
You know,
right now they have, and you know. You can make the argument they've had the better team since somewhere around June.
43-19 plus 2 wins is what the Padres have done. Now, the Dodgers haven't been too far behind that.
No.
But I agree with you. I think the Padres have a better ball club, and I know that everybody's going to – there's so many different things to play into this. The Dodgers, the pressure, you know, of having, you know, been the number one seed now. What is this, the 19th year in a row? And, you know, only the one World Series and Dave Roberts and the pressure and the payroll, and they got Ohtani.
You know what the other pressure is that I don't think anybody's really thought of? Shohei Ohtani. This is his first postseason – since he's been in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He's never been on this stage before.
It'll be now he did get just some things done in the World Baseball Classic.
That's great.
A different
that's
stage.
Great. That's
but
in
still.
That's in March. Not yeah. the same thing.
Right.
And the other thing is the Padres.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I only said it because somebody's going to tweet
right.
you and
he's
say
right. he
oh,
did
play in the baseball class.
And he won that. Yeah, no, he's right on that.
Chris is blaming Twitter on his.
I am. I'm blaming Twitter for my interruption.
Here's the other thing: the Padres have pitched Shohei Ohtani very well this year, and so. I like the Padres' chances, man. I really do. I really do.
They've done an awesome job of putting this team together. And you know, here's our guy. You know who our guy is on ESPN, Scraby?
You know, on ESPN Plus.
Which one, Chris? Well, is it Doolittle?
It is our guy Bradford Doolittle.
Is
and
he
once
back
again,
for more?
He's back for more.
How can he have anything bad to say about Jackson Merrill now?
You know, he didn't have anything bad to say about Jackson Merrill. But Bradford Doolittle was the guy that at the end of August, I think it was, still had Jackson Merrill ranked
sixth. Yes, I remember.
In the rookie ratings. And we kind of, you know, went crazy about that. Now, here's his latest piece. Which playoff team needs to win the World Series the most in terms of who has the most pressure on them to win? Now, I didn't look at this story. It was just brought up to me on the roundtable today. And I thought, if you look at the National League, it's obviously the Dodgers have the most pressure to win.
Yeah.
I don't even think even a Dodger fan would say the same thing. Leave it to Bradford Doolittle. His pressure index, he calls it, Tony.
The index, huh?
The index ranks the most pressure to win the World Series is on the Brewers.
What?
Huh?
Since when has there ever been pressure on the Brewers to do anything? Second most pressure is on the Padres.
Huh?
I don't even understand where he comes up with this. Now, I'll read what he wrote. He said, the Padres are third behind Cleveland and Milwaukee in drought points, which means they've won no titles since the beginning of their existence, obviously. San Diego's knock-knock factor isn't as high as it feels like it should be, given anyway.
Sounds like a guy who pays attention to analytics is making his decisions off of made-up analytics.
He's basically trying to say that the Padres right now better take advantage of this window because it may close before it's too late, you know, before after this season. And I don't even necessarily agree with that. Padres have a lot of great players signed for long contracts.
I would definitely say.
It's just crazy to me. He ranked the Dodgers as the sixth most pressure.
That's because he must not ever have been to Los Angeles. Because I promise you, if somebody from L.A. reads that, they are emailing him right now.
Yeah. Come on,
Here's the thing. I don't think he's completely wrong. I think of the teams left in the series, the Dodgers are far and ahead the most pressure to win.
Okay.
But the Padres are probably the second.
They have some.
Second most pressure.
All right.
When you think about it, right?
Well, why do you say that? Do you think the Padres, this is going to be it? Like they're going to lose a bunch of guys?
No, not at all. I think they'll have a chance to get back, but you can't guarantee that. And so I think based on expectation, even though the expectation is not as high as it was last year, I do think of the teams remaining, which you got the nationally, you got the Padres, Dodgers, Brewers,
Mets, and Phillies.
Mets or Phillies.
Phillies have come up short here a couple of times recently.
Yeah, and you know they've come up short. They've had a title in far more recent. Yeah, you know,
no, you're right.
Than we have.
Yeah.
I can see. I'm not saying that he's spot on too. I'm just saying that I can understand the Padres being at two, but I can't understand the Brewers being at one.
I don't get that. There's no pressure playing in Milwaukee. You played there. I mean, there's pressure on every team.
Right.
Don't get.
I don't think that
comparatively speaking,
I don't think they're going to call into the radio shows and dog cuss everybody if they don't. This is a team that seemingly is always looking to cut around the payroll. Not necessarily cut so they don't have a competitive team, but they're not looking to spend over a certain amount. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They typically lose their guys as they become free agents because they don't usually pay to bring them back.
I mean, if you're talking about pressure right now, can there be any more pressure on any other one person in sports right now than Dave Roberts?
No.
I mean, there just can't be. Dave is, you know, we support Dave on this show because we've, you know, Tony knows him well. I've had a chance to meet him and, you know, we really like him and it's too bad he manages a team that we don't like. But, you know, I root for Dave and I think he's done a great job overall. But the bottom line is, if he doesn't get it done, I mean, last year they were swept. in this round. The year before, they lost the final three.
Yeah.
They have lost six straight playoff games.
That's probably
going back to a couple of years ago. This is the Los Angeles Dodgers with the best team in the history of the sport, 0-6. And I wonder if Dave Roberts, Tony, is going to have to. I don't know what. I don't follow the Dodgers closely enough, and I'm going to get to know them now. But in my mind, Dave Roberts, the thing that has hurt him as a manager in the playoffs is panicking. And what I mean by that is every single time it seems like one of his starting pitchers gets a couple guys on in the third, fourth inning, they're out. And I don't know that he's got a good enough bullpen this time around to do this against the Padres. I don't know. Again, the Dodgers probably have a bunch of young arms that I haven't heard of yet that throw 105 miles an hour. But, you know, I think he's going to have to somewhat be patient even when the feeling for him is to, you know, react.
I think that is short-sighted, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
He was criticized the first 3 or 4 years for leaving his starters in too much.
Okay.
Kershaw being one of them.
Well,
and then he's kind of adjusted to the way that everybody else, and now
he's
bringing him too early. But your point is still correct. He has, I think, in terms of the managers, the most pressure of anybody.
Can't even be close. It's
not.
Aaron Boone's got a lot because he's New York.
Take that back. So, you know what? I keep forgetting. The Yankees are still in this. So, I would still put teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers ahead of the Padres, maybe even the Phils from that standpoint. Everybody else, though, I think is underneath the Padres.
Well, I think the Padres got a great chance, but I think their window's going to be open for a while.
I agree with that.
You know, we're going to find out in the next 3 weeks if it's their time, because I think they're good enough to win the whole thing.
It certainly feels like it. I'm not going to lie.
It really does. We talked about this today, Tony, and I thought it was an interesting point that Ben brought up again on the roundtable. You know, when Joe Musgrove came out of that game last night, I don't know if you saw it, but I did. He tapped his chest right where the Peter Seidler logo was. And I feel like, you know, a lot of guys kind of reference Peter as this thing's gone along. I don't know what everybody's spiritual beliefs are out there, and it's not something we need to talk about at the moment, but I feel his passing has been something that this team has leaned on as a galvanizing tool to try to get this done, to win it for Peter. And I think Ben Higgins brought up a great point. If they don't win it all, that's not because of Peter either. But I think it's something that the team kind of buys into. And every team needs a little something like that to lean on, Tony. Agree or no?
No, I 100% agree. I think it's something that is not always spoken about amongst those guys, but they know what it is. It's certainly brought up in the speeches, in the two speeches I've heard afterwards from Mike Shildt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's something he talked about early in the season as well. So I don't think there's any doubt that these guys, a part of this is about playing for Peter Seidler. He had such an impact on a lot of those guys on the team that, yeah, I can 100% see that.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
But it doesn't guarantee anything, and I don't want to try to insinuate that. A lot of people who've owned teams and, you know, great people, baseball people, football people have passed, and their teams have tried to win one for the Gipper type of thing, and you don't always win it for the Gipper.
You weren't here last week when after the triple play when I said you can't argue with me that wasn't some sort of Peter Seidler
divine intervention.
Yes. Because it's never happened before to clinch a playoff spot.
That was crazy.
First time ever.
Yeah.
By the way, we forgot about Kyle Higashioka, guys.
Were we supposed to go to him?
Yeah, but we can go to him after this break if you guys want to.
I didn't think we were.
Oh, yeah, because he was going to talk about Joe.
Yeah.
That's what we were.
Yeah.
That's how we got to
but
that.
But you guys got into a good conversation. Bradford Doolittle bashing.
Which is always a go-to when you have a long segment. You look up what Bradford's written recently.
We don't talk about him too much. When you're not here, we talk about him quite a bit.
Apparently so. Do we have time for DeRosa, what he said? How long is that clip?
It's a little bit longer. Yeah, we're headed to break. We'll play that when we get back. We'll play some audio when we get back.
Yeah, I'm not the only one that thinks the Padres are the better team. We'll cover it on the other side. More Gwen and Chris. More talk on Padres-Dodgers. and some Kyle Higashioka sound.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.